Pray with me. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in a place where we can worship you freely. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for our town, and we pray for our hearts. Father, let us be found faithful, and let us be found telling people about you wherever we go. As we study your word now, open our eyes. Let us see things we've never seen before in your word and reveal yourself to us, that we may be the disciples that you want us to be. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear, that our time in your word may be fruitful. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We are looking at what it is to be a disciple and the responsibility of going and making more disciples. It's the only thing that Jesus told us to do, period. If you're still here, that's your one goal, your one job description, is go and make disciples. And to do that, we need to understand we've looked at our attitudes, our actions. Today we're going to look at our alignment. And I have a story for you. I'm sure you've heard it before. It's an old story that is supposedly true. Whether it is or not, it is irregardless, but the premise of the story is a good one for us. It's a true story, supposedly, about a ship off the coast of Canada and a radio transmission to the Canadian authorities. The naval ship says, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision." The Canadians respond back, "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees south to avoid collision." The naval ship radios back, "This is a captain of a naval ship. I say again, divert your course." The Canadians again respond, "No, I say you divert your course." With force, the naval ship responds back, "This is an aircraft carrier. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you divert your course 15 degrees to the north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship." The Canadians respond back, "This is a lighthouse. It's your call." We can get so caught up in what we think God wants that we forget to ask Him, and our alignment gets off. And specifically, it's about timing. We are in a society that has created the mindset that we need instant payoff, instant gratification. If we're going to do something, it's instantaneous. We need to take care of it right now. If I'm going to invest into something, it needs to happen right now. And God does not always work that way. God's timing is so mysterious, and He is working at such things that we cannot even imagine how He will weave them together to His good and His glory. That we have to make sure that as we're disciples and we're going about His business of our lives, that we're focused on Him. Because we get focused on ourselves. Listen to this definition of alignment. Alignment is parts of something that are in proper proportion relative to each other. If we are not in proper proportion and alignment with God, many times we're wasting time. The lighthouse had a purpose of keeping the course for ships safe. The Great Commission for us is to go make disciples. But we want, when we decide I'm gonna go out and make disciples, it's easy for us to get discouraged when that doesn't happen. I've been telling this person about Jesus for a year, and they haven't changed, so I'm going to stop. I'll tell you a story that impacted me on this. A number of years ago, I went into prison with Bill Glass Ministries. It was in Brownwood. And generally, what happens in these events is basically they lock you in the prison, and you pretty much have free reign. And generally, the goal in our mind is to talk to as many people as you can, because our time frame is very short and we are way outnumbered. And so you want to talk to and share the gospel with as many people as you possibly can. On this particular trip, for 8 hours, I talked to one person. One person. I talked to him for 4 hours, and then there was a break for an event, speakers, and then immediately when it was over, he came and found me, and for another 4 hours we talked. And as hard as I tried and as much as I prayed, he did not make a profession of faith. And on the ride home, we were talking about our day, and I was a little bit discouraged because I had spent my whole day on this one person with nothing to show for it. And Brian looks at me and he said something I've never forgotten. He said, "Listen, you did what God wanted you to do, so how could you possibly have wasted time?" I hope when I get to heaven, that guy comes to find me. But what we have to remember is we're on God's time, not our time. We're on God's time, not our time. And I'll tell you this, I believe time is the most precious thing we have that we don't realize. Did you hear me? Time is the most precious thing we have that we don't realize. Many of us in this room have enough gray hairs that we wish we could explain how fast life goes. The younger you are, you cannot understand it, but the older you get, it goes so fast. And time is so precious. Can you imagine every day you're given 24 hours and you start taking out of that sleeping, eating, working, and you get down to there's not a lot of time. So how do you spend it to be the disciple that God wants you to be? I want you to watch this and think about how precious time is. Yeah.
All right, 60-second spot on time. Can I have a clock in the corner?
It's there.
Thank you. Roll them.
Rolling.
Action.
Okay, here's the deal. We all know that life is busy. There aren't enough hours in the day to do all the things that we want and need to do. In fact, you're probably thinking of all the things you need to do next week right now, wondering how you're going to squeeze it all in. But the fact is, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter how much is on your plate, we all have the same gift of 24 hours each day. 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. All the money in the world won't let you buy one single second more than the next guy. And once that second is gone, it's gone forever. Look, there goes one right now. Another one, gone. You'd think that we would judiciously use such a limited and valuable gift. You'd think that we would choose wisely how to spend, no, invest our time. But do we? Really? And after taking the time for eating and sleeping and all the other basic necessities, do we really use this gift the way we should? Think of all the great things you could do in 24 hours. all the lives you could touch, all the significant changes that could be made in your life and others. The fact is, you could actually make a difference in this world in 24 hours or not. So, how are you investing your
time?
How are you investing yours? If you're aligned and focused on yourself, we aren't using it very well. There's two words for time in Scripture. One is chronos. It's where we get our word chronological. For those of us who are list makers and check lists and want to make sure we accomplish things, we live by chronos. Okay? We focus on getting things done. And when we don't get things done, we feel like we've failed. It's like you make a list and you head to the store and I've got to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and get out. And if you live your life by that, it's very easy to miss God's appointments. Chronos, that's one of them. The other word is kairos. And this is the one we really need to get our thinking caps around. The definition is a moment of divine opportunity. Hear that? A moment of divine opportunity. How many divine opportunities have you and I missed because we're on chronos time? Kairos is God's time. And what He wants for you and I is investing ourselves in making disciples. And a lot of times that is nothing more than putting a smile on somebody's face at a line in the grocery store. That's plowing. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, as we think about God's divine appointments and what He wants us to do, we have to be ever mindful that His ways are not our ways. We don't understand what He's doing. And He has opportunities for you every day to invest in people's lives. Isaiah 28, verse 23. Listen to me. Listen and pay close attention. Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting? Does he not finally plant his seed? Black cumin, cumin, wheat, barley, wheat, in each its proper way, and in each in its proper place. The farmer knows what to do, for God has even given him understanding. If we want to be God's disciples, and we want to take hold of this job description that He's given us, remember how we talked about God gave you one thing, and for those of you who are parents, you understand when you look at your kids and you go, I just want you to do one thing. Don't focus on nothing else. Just get this one thing, and then they can't get that right. Okay? Isaiah here, he says, look, and he says it twice. Listen to me. Listen to me and pay close attention. This is like I remember when I was a kid, my mother trying to get my attention. And it would get to the point where she'd grab my face like this. And she said, look at me. And then I'm like. Because she wanted my focus. That's what God does to us all the time. And sometimes they have to grab you by the face and go, listen to me. The things that you think are important are not always important. My great-grandmother used to have a saying in trying to keep life in perspective of saying, in 100 years from now, will that matter? There's so many things that we care about right now, and not only in 100 years from now it won't matter, but next week it won't matter. So we have to be focused on God's timing and God's appointments if we're going to be disciples. But you know what gets in our way? You know what's the biggest problem for us? Watch this.
I got a big butt. It's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt about it. And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you discard me or wince at the disgusting notion of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something, okay? Everybody we know has a big butt. And more often than not, it's the thing that actually gets in the way of us living a consistent life for Jesus. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to expound a little bit, okay? See if you can recognize some of these butts. But I have to work more. But my favorite TV show is on. But my kids have practice. But I got to tweet something. But it's such a beautiful day. But I'm just not in the mood. But I deserve a break today. You see, everything kind of interferes with my life of just living an authentic life for God, okay? And more often than not, it always has something to do with some sort of butt, okay? Even the littlest of butt can distract me. It really can. The littlest butt can make me think, well, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asks me to do, I seem to have a butt for it and get away, okay? And the most horrendously big butt of all time is the butt that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading His Word. It's true. Think about it. All the times you're about to open that, and all of a sudden a big giant butt gets in the way. A butt. Much like one of these. But I got a farm bill. But I'm tired. But the game's over. But I read last Tuesday. But I got to check Facebook. But I don't like Leviticus. But it's too hot here. But I just don't like books. But I don't understand it. But it's boring. But what does that have to do with me in the 21st century? Those are some ugly butts, people. Let's just call them what they are. Ugly. Ugly butts. Okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group is the same night as Monday Night Football. But can't I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. But that's not my gift. But that's the pastor job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a butt, there a butt. Everywhere, a butt. Okay? And the most overused butt of all time, but I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of butts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it, and we share it, and we teach it, and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. Okay? And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make here, my fellow butt lovers, is if your butt is bigger than your why, then your butt's too big. Okay? It's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay, let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Let's shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. Say it with me. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start the day, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or...
I got a question for you. How big's your butt? Is your butt bigger than your why? Because if it is, I want to remind you of something. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. verse 27. If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, we talked a lot about what that means and how we as Christians like to think that that's some kind of burden that we have to carry that God's given us. It's not. In Jesus' terms, when he would have told that story to the people he was talking to, they would have understand that, like Jesus, if you had been convicted, you had to carry your cross to the point where you were put to death. And so, if we're going to be disciples, we have to be willing to die to ourselves. That's what that's saying. And Jesus is saying, if you're not willing to die to yourself, and that means for the next 24 hours, because that's all he asks us, remember, today, all I want you to do is today. Forget about yesterday. Satan loves to remind you of yesterday. God says, don't worry about that, it's gone. And you don't have tomorrow. So focus on this 24 hours. And what Jesus said is the only thing I want you to do is focus on me. And carry your cross. And watch for the divine appointments, the Kairos time that he wants you on. Because sometimes you may just be plowing and planting so that somebody later on can harvest. Today, the largest church in the world is in South Korea. They average 480,000 in attendance on a given weekend. That's a wow. 480,000. Can you imagine trying to find a parking place? That would not have happened without a missionary named John Nevis, who went to Korea in the late 1800s to begin to evangelize a very hard culture to evangelize. And he never saw one conversion. But he was faithful in God's time to lay the framework for the largest church in the world. How big is your butt? Do not let your butt be bigger than your why. Because the why is because Jesus loved you enough to die for you. And all he asks is that you love him enough to live for him. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for loving us. And Father, I ask for the people in this room that you give us a new focus, a fresh awareness, that our lives are not governed by the watches on our wrist or the calendars on our cell phone. But the only thing that matters are the divine appointments that you have for us. Father, I pray for the people in this room that no one is in this room by accident. We all had a divine appointment to meet here today. If there's one that does not know you, I pray, Father, that they give their life to you today. And I pray for the rest of us, Father, that we be the disciples that you want us to be. That we be about the business of making disciples. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with us. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you don't know him, I invite you to do that today. If there's things, if you got butts you want to leave on this altar, it's big enough. Thank you for being here. If you are visiting with us, you are our special guest. We appreciate the fact that you chose to worship with us. Know that you are always welcome. Reminder, the packing party on Saturday. Make sure you're here for that. It's a lot of fun. Gentlemen, I cannot stress to you enough about the prayer, the campfire on Friday night. Every time that I have gone to the spot that we've gone to, I've met God there. Every time. It is holy ground. And this is a little bit like Batman inviting you into the Batcave. If you get the opportunity, take it. So Jody's got an amazing time for us planned, so make sure you're a part of that. As we go out of here today, I pray that you have a fresh awareness of God's time. Is the only thing that matters. Let's pray. Father, take us out of this room and let us glorify you. Use us to make disciples and make us aware of the divine appointments that you have for each of us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.